You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me is Joe Zanataro and Matt Cannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. We got an action-packed episode coming up for you guys, talking about the All-Star Game. We've got a big announcement on some special thing we're doing, which we'll get to in here in just a minute, but a lot of exciting things to talk about. Don't forget to like and subscribe right here on YouTube so you don't miss out on our future episodes. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing well, exciting and fun weekend. There's also a little bit of a gap between Gasparilla parades because we're still in full pirate season. So we got one more of those coming up this next weekend, and looking forward to getting back to some Bolts hockey. How are you?
I swear this 1 week break felt as long as the off season. I'm just so stoked that we get some actual Lightning hockey back. It's been like 2 weeks since I've been in my usual spot watching the game. I got a brand new TV. I can't wait to get into some games.
Well, also, this is the second like extended break that the Lightning have had over the past 2 weeks. So it's felt like really long. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of games back in there, but this is the second time they've been out without Lightning hockey for a little bit, but it's coming back. And for the game against the New York Rangers on the 7th, here's our big announcement letting you guys know. We are going to be live streaming on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram and doing a watch along of that game. It's 7 p.m. Against the Rangers. So you guys can come in, hang out with us, talk some Lightning hockey as we follow along that game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to this, guys. Should be a blast.
I'm super excited for this. Like we all know how we, react to each other. You know, we're in the group chat saying all this stuff, and even that like has a little bit of a filter through it. I can't wait to watch a game along with you guys, see how you get to watch the game in real time. I've been to a couple games with Joe, and it's always a good time. So I'm really, really excited. I know we've been talking about this for a while, and always playing the Rangers, whether it be a good or a bad game, they're always entertaining games to watch. So I think this will be a really special day to do it.
Definitely looking forward to comments. So jump in on the stream, throw some shade our way, and be ready to enjoy it.
7 p.m. Eastern, like and subscribe right here on YouTube and ring that bell so you don't miss out when that one goes live. And again, it'll also be on Twitter at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning, and on Instagram, which is at RBLR Sports as well. So be sure to be notified for when that goes live on the 7th. But before we get into the outlook for the Lightning this week and what's coming up for them, let's talk about the All-Star game, because boy, were there some storylines out of this one. So let's start off with the skills competition, which was first. And before we even get to Kucherov and all of his entertainment, I do want to say I actually really enjoyed the skills competition. I've always been a skills competition guy. I think hockey has one of the better skills competition. Never going to beat the home run derby. The home run derby is just fantastic. But I think NHL has always done a good job. I really like this year, though. Connor McDavid, I know, was a big part of being involved in it and setting it up. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a fun competition. I liked the format that they did. I don't know how you guys felt watching it. But for me personally, I thought it was a very entertaining and a fun, afternoon watch.
I'd say that... I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to be critics, before we even get into the whole Kucherov thing about the fact that McDavid did arrange a lot of the activities to be done, and then he also is the best at said activities.
True.
But
interesting.
Let's face it, he has the highest skill set in the NHL, and he just was able to display it. So I don't think that the way the everything was going back and forth, I don't think that was a disservice to the All-Star game. I thought actually the activities that they had were pretty decent.
I didn't get to watch a whole lot of the skills competition or even the game. I was working during both of them, but I feel like I might be getting old because this is the first time since I've watched NHL hockey that I'm like, I don't really care if I miss it. You know, a lot of the other, pretty much every other year, it's been like, yeah, I want to watch it. If I miss it, I will be bummed. This year was kind of the first time I was like, eh, whatever. Especially because we only had one player, where the last like 5 years we've had like three players in each game too. So that might be a factor. But no, I actually really did like how they switched it up. The last couple All-Star games have been not only just hard to watch, but cringy even. And I hate saying that. I don't want to be, you know, Debbie Downer, but it's awkward. You get, you know, secondhand embarrassment from some of these guys. I didn't get the same sense of that this year for most of it. You know, it was still very kitschy. It's still, you know, it is targeted towards children and young people like that. It, you know, I'm not the target audience, but again, I do think the revisions that they made were, you know, very, very, very good.
They've done a lot to try to get the players more and more interested in actually participating. And one of that being financial incentives. That's, you know, you can almost call it gimmicky in a sense, because they're having to pay players in order to have them perform. But at the same rate, what do these guys, you know, have on the line otherwise? Even if, you know, for bragging rights, sure. But, you know, the way that the game is, that doesn't even really play too much of a factor for most of them. So they're trying things in order to get a better show out of it, you know. And that said, sometimes players are as apathetic about it as you were this year watching, Matt.
So if you guys did miss the All-Star game and didn't see it, I'm sure you saw it on social media. Nikita Kucherov was the hot topic of the All-Star game. Because basically, if you watch the All-Star game, he really didn't look like he was putting in 100% effort. Obviously, we've seen Kucherov this whole season. He's having an unbelievable year, leading the league in points right now, and is in the top two, I think, or top five for almost every category there is, especially in goals and assists as well. So he's having a fantastic year. But just was very lethargic. Just you could the sense you got was just he didn't really care. And he was eliminated quickly from the competition, because the way it worked is there was a live leader, standing boards, and after four competitions, I think it was the bottom four players that got eliminated. Kucherov was, I think, in dead last, if I remember correctly. He had like half a point. Wasn't super into it. And it was a hot topic because a lot of people were either very much against it, saying that they lost a lot of respect for Kucherov. This looks terrible for him. And then there were all the Lightning fans, or a majority of the Lightning fans that I should say, that were like, this is awesome. I love it. Kucherov doesn't care. He's just going in his personality. So there were two very split different sides. Before I get to my stuff, I want to hear from you guys. Joe, how did you feel watching Kucherov during the All-Star Skills competition?
That's pretty much what I expected him to do. I thought he'd, you know, try a little bit harder, because in that passing, I guess it was like the final one where it was a bunch of different skills, or was it just passing? I can't recall. It just seems like he kind of, you know, cashed it in, and, you know, that's all right. He kind of made a mockery of the fact that he had to do it. I thought he actually tried in the one-timers, though. He was actually taking some shots where a lot of the other guys were just kind of doing a snapshot and not really, you know, putting the full force into their one-timers, trying to place them exceptionally accurately as opposed to actually blasting them. So good on him for taking some shots. But do you know why he went down to half a point rather than having a full point? Because he had a full point at the end of the competition, but they took something away from him. I wasn't sure why.
To be honest with you, I was a little confused, because this is a very new – they've never done this before, obviously, with the format. Mm-hmm. So I don't 100% know, to be honest with you. I couldn't tell you. The format was a little weird.
This whole I didn't watch the first one, so I missed the one-timer competition and the second one he did, the whatever one, you know, got the rain of boos that, you know, were quickly followed up. I saw it everywhere on social media. I open my phone and I just see, you know, half of people commenting on whoever's post are saying suspend him, throw him under the jail, and the other half is, you know, kind of on team me. I wouldn't want to be there. I get it. You know, people paid good money to see, you know, see their favorite players. I don't know. It's not that heartbreaking when one player is kind of half-assing it. It's really not that huge of a deal to me, especially given the climate that he's in, literally, being in Toronto. I don't know. I love the villain role that Kucherov you know, has been taking for the last, you know, 4 years or so. He has really turned heel, and I think it's a great fit for him. The league loves a villain, just like, you know, WWE and AEW. The fans love a villain. You know, it makes for good storylines. I know I might be digging a little too deep into the villain arc here, but again, I was cackling watching the whole thing. I was sitting by myself.
You were just Sidney Crosby.
Oh my, dude. I literally just in my house alone by myself, I'm cackling watching this. Even, you know, even during the actual game and the shootout, the little waves he's doing, he's chuckling to himself.
The waves were great.
I thought it was hilarious. Were they boos or were they saying cooch?
Well, so actually, funny you mentioned that. I was reading an article today. Apparently, Sergachev says that Cooch told him it was cooch, which I kind of find hard to believe. There's no way.
No.
According to Cooch, it was cooch chance, but I don't buy that.
Yeah, and at the risk of going heel myself, I do want to say that Kucherov is an amazing player. He's top in the league for points, but he's also not a raw skills player. He's very visceral. He's very intelligent with the way he plays, and it doesn't necessarily translate directly to the skills that they're having him put in. I mean, I've said it, you know, since last season. I started bringing it up more and more because we were seeing it more and more. He's not great on the one timer. He doesn't place it exceptionally well. He doesn't hit it exceptionally hard. and you're not going to change my mind on that, especially when you've got someone like Steven Stamkos on the team who shows you he probably has the best one timer of all time, you know, from his spot. And I'm saying that over Alexander Ovechkin as well. I think he places it better and he shoots it harder. But
I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, Cooch's skills don't necessarily translate into an all-star game. His stick handling is more of a deception to try drawing somebody in order to open up a passing lane rather than is trying to put it like through their feet or, you know, behind the back in order to bring it back out front. His most famous deke is not touching the puck at all.
His most famous deke is no deke.
that's it. So, I mean, maybe it doesn't really translate to him as well. So why try his best against guys that are going to be going hard, and he's just there to chill, hang out, and enjoy himself rather than, you know, put out a ton of effort and come up a little bit short.
Well, and to your point, Joe, I mean, we'll get to the All-Star game more in a minute, the actual game, the tournament, but he played well in the game. You could see more of his skill in there in some of those plays that he made. Personally, for me, I told you guys at the beginning, I enjoy the All-Star game. The skills competition. I've always looked forward to it. I've always enjoyed it. So I should have known going into this, Nikita Kucherov and his personality, that he would be like this. And maybe it's a Russian thing. You know, Ovechkin has never been a big guy in the All-Star game either. But I was a little disappointed just because I was looking forward to watching Kucherov and compete. But I get it. Listen, Kucherov doesn't owe anybody anything to go out there and put on a show. It's, you know, he can do whatever he wants. You know, he doesn't owe anybody anything. And that's what was so annoying, I think, about this whole thing, was the two sides were both completely blown out of proportion. I mean, you either had people like absolutely ripping on him, saying, like you were saying, Matt, he should be suspended. You know, it's like, okay, come on, calm down. Or the other side, you know, saying that, you know, this is the best thing ever. This is great. For, you know, there's two different sides to it, but
how ridiculous would a suspension be?
he went and did it, and he even said to Ray Ferraro during the game, because they asked about his tape job, he had a weird tape job on his stick.
Oh, yeah,
he said to Ray Ferraro, he's like, did you see my performance last night? I had to change it up. So maybe he did try, I don't know. Like you were saying, Joe, it just doesn't translate well for him.
You know, saying that he showed up, think about it. What was it, the year that Ovi won the cup, he declined his invitation to the All-Star game.
And he got suspended, I believe, that year.
He's done that a couple of years. I know he went last year. I don't know how Crosby talked him into it, but for probably like the last 4 or 5 years, he's opted out and taken a one-game suspension.
Speaking of Crosby, guess who skipped the draft? Sidney Crosby. And nobody made a hoot about him. Suspend him. Listen, again, these guys, you know, they're out there. They're doing a lot of them. I know they'd rather be at home just hanging out. I get it. They don't owe anybody anything. It's just, again, for me personally, it's just because I was looking forward to it and wanting to watch him compete. And yeah, for some of those younger fans, maybe they want to see their guys, and it can be a little disappointing. I get it. But, you know, also at the same time, it's Cooch. I mean, this is what we expect. Some of those Toronto fans in those pictures, if you look, they're laughing watching Cooch do that.
Well, they probably also enjoyed him not performing well too.
I got way more entertainment from the boos and the lackluster effort. I got way more entertainment out of that because it was such a talking point. It was, you know, especially because it's, you know, my player. It's from my team. I thought it was so funny instead of just like, haha, that was cool. Great. You did good in the competition. We're here talking about it today. We're not talking about how fast Connor McDavid was.
Come on, Matt. You know, we would have been tied. Coach Eliminate, like, you just destroy everybody in Toronto and won that skills competition. You know, that would have been a big talk.
Yeah, but I feel like we'd have talked about it for 5 minutes instead of 15 now. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think
we'd say Cooch went Cooch. And
exactly. And he's our Kucherov first star of the week. It's Nikita Kucherov. No, I think I'm getting so much more just jovial laughter and entertainment out of this than pretty much any other All-Star game. This is honestly, because of this, it is my favorite All-Star game I've watched since the Tampa one, the whole weekend, just because of the whole ordeal.
I was going to say, at the risk of possibly repeating myself, because I don't remember if we brought it up last show, but when the All-Star game was in Tampa, every time Brad Marchand was in the skills competition, the whole place just booed him mercilessly. And, you know, he leaned into it. He was also on the same team, though, as the Bolts. And so when he ended up scoring a goal in the actual game, there's a very strange reaction where, you know, like, no one wanted to really cheer for him. There's some booing, but then also some cheering. And again, he leaned into that. And it was pretty fun. I'm sure he got a kick out of it because he went out there and had a memory that was lasting.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I was fortunate enough to be at that All-Star game and it was so much fun. I remember booing, of course, Marchand as much as I possibly could. And then he scored that goal and you're like, yes. Oh, really? It was him. Oh, geez. But you're right. It seems like when those guys embrace those villain roles, I know Matt loves the villain role. Of course he loved
it
so much. It was a good All-Star game overall, and even if you didn't like Kucherov, it did bring up a lot of talking points, and it was a big topic on social media, no question about it. Best All-Star game, though. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, speaking of social media, do you see what the other Bolts guys were doing while this was taking place?
I did, and I saw Tyler Johnson was hanging out with some of his old teammates.
Callie.
Palat was there.
Gordon was in there as well. There were a bunch of them were all back
Maroon.
There.
Yeah.
Oh man, I saw Tyler Johnson's Instagram pictures, and I was sitting there, and I didn't tear up, but man, it kind of hit me in the feels just seeing, you know, the gang back together.
A lot of the Lightning players getting together, which is always great to see. It just shows you the culture that was built here in Tampa over those years as well. I was going to say, though, quickly, too, the best All-Star game is still the John Scott All-Star game.
That was
far one of my favorites and was amazing. I saw someone mention on Twitter, too, and they said, like, you know, just start putting forget the best of the best, put the worst on the worst, put all these no names out there and see what they do, which, you know, it would be a little bit irritating.
Well, I mean, because you don't really have a measuring stick to compare any of these guys to. So what is a good time? What's an average skater going to be doing? And it's not like you can compare them head to head against the AHL guys either, because it's completely different competitions. So you don't really have an idea of how much skill they have, because it's not feats that you can see demonstrated by an average player.
Well, and it is supposed to be just a fun thing, right? Like, it's not like you're sitting like here, oh, Cooch didn't perform in the accuracy shooting, he's a terrible player. Like, obviously not. The guy is leading. I'll tell you what, though, the announcers, man, holy cow, they were just ripping on Cooch every which way they could. They were talking about, oh, he's not going to be winning the Art Trophy. It was ridiculous. They were not about Nikita Kucherov.
I'm going to argue that, Jake. I think, you know, they were doing, like, they were put in a tough position. I think it was Ray Ferraro and Sean McDonough. I can't quite remember who's doing play-by-play.
I did the game. I think it was Buchigross who did
It was Buchigross that did the skills comp. But I have to commend them, because it would be difficult for you or I to, you know, unbiasedly call this. You know, you can't call Kucherov out and say he is just dogging it. What a shame. They still, you know, brought up, you know, this is one of the best players in the world and he's doing this. I think they gave him his cookies. They weren't, you know, completely down on him. Did he? Okay. Again, I was only, you know, halfway watching it. I was, you know, having to do X, Y, and Z while I was at work. So I didn't get to, you know, really sit down. But I did hear, you know, in some of the replays them saying, he's really dogging it right there, but he is still a fantastic player, one of the best players I've ever seen. Mark Messier was glowing about him. Everybody did have to get that caveat in that, yeah, he really sucked today, but we know what he can do when he's taking it seriously.
You're right.
Builds storylines.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to talk about.
We should, Matt. You're right, Matt. It is a tough position to be in. Well, I think it was more Buchidras who was really ripping on him the most. Ray Ferraro did give him a lot of credit during the whole thing as well. That's what drove me crazy. But at the end of the day, it was, I thought, a good skills competition. Cooch was talked about all over the place. I know his teammates were loving it too. Stamkos even said, Sergachev literally posted on his Instagram story just laughing, taking a picture of Kucherov during that. But the players obviously don't care about that. They know what Kucherov can do. And he kind of showed it in the All-Star game where he scored one goal and one assist in that first game. And the goal was beautiful. Made a nice steal right at the blue line and then came down and scored on the breakaway to give Team Hughes an early lead. Unfortunately, Team Hughes goes on to lose that game to Team Matthews. But Cooch was doing Cooch things, making unbelievable passes, making great shots, and it was fun to watch him in the game.
I say, unfortunately, Team Hughes had JT Miller on it, who who did not perform well and had a chance right at the very end. That was his chance at the end, right? That ended up not scoring, or is that?
Yeah. In the shootout you're talking about, right?
With 5 seconds left. I'm sorry to win it. Five seconds left. He had a good opportunity to win it and just wasn't able to bury it.
Well, shootout, you had a Kucherov as well who got to shoot, and that's when more of the quote unquote cooch or booze were happening, and he was pushing it up, throwing his hand around, and then, oh man, how great would that have been if Cooch scored that shootout goal to eliminate Team Matthews after he was getting, that would have been so good. But unfortunately, Kucherov's great at a lot of things. He is not great at penalty shots. I don't know what it is. This guy cannot score on breakaways ever since he scored that Deke no Deke goal, which is one of my favorites of all time. He just hasn't been able to score this year on the breakaway.
I don't think it's hurting his stats all that much. I don't think he's too worried. But still, my favorite part of the whole booing fiasco, all that, however many times they did boo, these Toronto fans didn't even give it their all. They boo their own players way harder, way louder, way more often. So who's really coming out on top here? I just had to throw that one in.
Heard some of the chirps on, I forget who it was. I think it was Pastrnak who said, Team Matthews ended up winning the whole thing, which, as much as I don't like the Leafs, it's always fun when the home crowd gets to cheer on their guys. I was thinking the Lightning were going to win when they were in Tampa. They unfortunately fell a little short, but it is always nice to see that for the home crowd. But Pastrnak had said after the competition, he said, it's good for those guys. They can never win too many games, get those two wins, alluding to them never winning the second round. So there were some fun trips about that.
So who's public enemy number one leaving Toronto? Is it Pastrnak or is it Kucherov?
I still think it's still Kucherov. I don't know how many people actually heard that quote from Pasta, but both those guys, I'm sure, are up there on the list for public enemies. But hey, it was a fun All-Star game. I wish I could have seen a little more Kucherov in the second game. Unfortunately, Team Hughes just wasn't able to pull it out. But overall, I thought the NHL did a good job, and I'm looking forward to next year. Except, by the way, those jerseys.
I swear to God, I was going to say, except for the jerseys.
I will say this. On the ice, I didn't think there were 10, but the names underneath the numbers, what was that? I don't know whose idea that was. But, yeah, the jerseys, they were okay on ice, I thought, but the names and the weird bubble lettering.
No. Looked like Reese's, especially the red ones or the yellows, one of them. It looked like a Reese's wrapper.
Yeah, they
– same font.
Okay, you either get one of the All-Star jerseys with any player of your liking – or you get Justin Bieber's coat that he was wearing on the bench.
Oh, I'd rock that coat.
No, I'll take the All-Star jersey.
I'll take a meteor.
I am also, listen, I'll say it right here, right now. We're over here talking about Justin Bieber again. I can't stand that. I'm not a Bieber guy. I don't like him at all. So that's why I would take that any day of the week. If it was any other person doing it, maybe I'd say that. But
I've come around on him. I'm not 12 anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Wow, man. All right. if you guys are entertained by this, this is why you want to come over here and check out and join us during the live stream. There's going to be a lot of this going on during the game. We'll, of course, be talking about Lightning hockey as well, but don't forget to tune into that. It's going to be a ton of fun.
See, I think you guys were missing it. It's as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's exactly something my wife would wear to a game, you know, like a Snuggie, you know, something to keep warm.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, it was so fluffy. I think it'd be really comfortable to just, you know, cuddle up on the couch or something. And, you know, when it's cold, that'd be perfect.
Not for
I wouldn't wear it out. I wouldn't wear it out or anything, but it, you know, make a nice that's little cool. blanket.
And
$4,500.
And speaking of expensive hockey-related fur coats, did you guys see the one that whatever company made for Drake when he was at Amalie Arena? It was a big, long, white fur coat with a bright blue lightning bolt on the back. I thought it was really cool. I don't like Drake a bit, but I thought the coat itself was actually really cool. I was, like, looking for a link. I wanted one myself.
I don't know, guys. You know, those celebrities, they're all dressed up, and they think they look so good. I'll tell you where you can get some awesome-looking merch, and you can look so good, is shop.rvlrsports.com. You can get over there and get 10% off your order using code BOLTS, LIGHTNING, BUCKS, RAYS, inspired merchandise, rowdies as well. We've got it all. Head over to shop.rblrsports.com and use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Links, as always, are in the description, so be sure to go check those out. All right, so we talked about the All-Star game and what the fun was there for that, but looking ahead now for the Bulls. So they've got three games coming up this week, four games on this road trip, but three games this week, one of them being a back-to-back with the Rangers and the New York Islanders. But before we get into the game specifically, got some players coming back. The Lightning are getting finally close to a potentially fully healthy lineup. Chernak and Sergachev and Janot were all on the ice skating in practice lines today. So it seems like, I don't know the exact timeline on everybody, but it seems like they are getting close to being back and could be back this week potentially, which I think a lot of the projections for those guys were after the All-Star break. So Lightning getting closer back to a potential fully healthy lineup.
Yeah, so I saw Sergey made the post today. I think he's right around the corner, seeing Janot back on the ice. I'm real stoked about it. So hopefully it doesn't mess up the mojo, because we were carrying a lot of momentum heading into this break, despite having, you know, half the team injured. I really hope, you know, getting the regulars back in the lineup doesn't screw with some of the mojo, the vibes going on. I doubt it will. Again, I've talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I'm really hoping that this season is kind of a flip from last season, where you got a lot of, you know, you're going, you know, pretty good throughout the whole season, kind of falling off going into the All-Star break, and then the wheels really fall off after the break. I'm hoping it's kind of the opposite, that after the break we really start to pick it up and have some momentum running into these playoffs. That's what I'm betting on. That's what I'm hoping for, obviously. And I really think all the pieces are kind of starting to fall in place. Again, we've crunched a lot of points, climbed the standings a little bit. It's still a neck and neck tight race with four different teams. But again, just seeing these guys back on the ice, seeing them back on Sergey, back on social media, it's really cool to see, I guess. Joe, I did cut you off, so I'll let you continue.
I mean, it is really tight too, and they've given themselves at least a little bit of a performance the past several weeks, where they're doing okay in the standings, shooting for a wild card spot. If they have a hiccup here, it wouldn't be the end of the world. You know, like you said, it's something that they traditionally actually do. Coming out of the All-Star break is drop a game or two. But if they keep playing well, they might even be able to get into the Atlantic Division, maybe third spot, because the Panthers are playing extremely well right now. I was going to say for the roster though, Lilleberg's still in. And he's still someone that's going to be, you're going to be seeing on the ice. And just like how high on this kid I am personally, I think he's been playing outstanding for someone that jumps in mid-season, and we're still going to get to have an opportunity to see him play in the future. So we'll see where that ends up being long-term, you know, down the road, if he's able to still get those games in, because I love the way this kid plays.
It is truly amazing that the Lightning every year have one guy that come. It was Ross Colton, Nick Perbix, Radish to an extent one year. And now it seems like it's Emil Lillenberg, who is in the line rushes at practice, even with a full healthy lineup. And it was, I believe, Calvin DeHaan, who was the one that was out. I don't know exactly. We'll see how the lineups work over the next couple of days. But, hey, good for him. He's been playing some great hockey and well-deserved for him to continue that, and hopefully he does. But there's always been one guy. It seems like it might be Lillenberg this year. Michael Chafee has also been called back up from the Syracuse Crunch. He was in the line rushes over ABB and ABB and Watson. So I think he'll get another shot against the New York Rangers here as well. So good to see the rookies still continuing to get some time, even though the Lightning are getting more healthy.
Yeah, I think Chafee was somebody that we highlighted last week or the week before. I can't quite remember, but he's somebody who's impressed me at the very least. I don't know if he necessarily deserves a spot over ABB, but he's definitely cooled off a bit since his call-up early this year. Did he start with the team? Whatever it is, he's definitely cooled off a bit. But it's still like everybody has slumps. Everybody has down weeks or months even, but I don't know. And we don't know if these lines are going to be concrete for Wednesday, or are they? I don't know if they are
projected. I mean, you know, that's like usually typically what you see in practice is what's going to happen in the game, but it's not 100% certain. Obviously things can happen.
I don't know. Regardless, I think we're all kind of on the same page of being bummed that ABB can't stay in the lineup, whatever vendetta, you know, John Cooper, Jeff Blashill has against the guy. Like, he's always go to blame Jeff Blashill, whatever he has against the guy. It sucks to see, but at the same time, you know, having rookies that can come in and, you know, fill gaps or play better than the replacement player, it's a really good problem to have, I guess. And same thing for Emil Lillenberg as well. You know, who knows where he slots in? I know right now he's projected to be in the starting six for defensemen, but even if he gets relegated to being a seventh defenseman, that's still a good problem to have. You got a quality seventh or maybe even eighth defenseman, because I know Fleury, he's healthy again. And I like the way he was playing before he got injured. Who knows how this will all shake out? Again, there's still a lot of hockey left to be played in this season. What, you know, 35 more games, whatever it is. You know, I we're all, you know, really interested to see how everything shakes out. But again, like, you know, going back to last year, these are good problems to have, I guess. You know, with everybody healthy, if we can't ice, you know, all these guys, we could be in a way worse situation.
And I do want to touch on the, you know, Sherry being in and ABB being out. More or less, they have the same number of points. They got 9 points. Sherry only has one goal. ABB has 6 goals and 3 assists, but they have the same number of points. Sherry is even on the season with his plus minus, where ABB is a -8. Alex Barberle's main weakness has always been his defensive play, and I think someone that's as veteran as Connor Sherry might just be someone that you trust a little bit more, especially when you're not playing on the top lines. And we've said, you know, literally for years, that ABB is a guy that should be in a top six. He's not going to do well if he's not. Where it looks like, you know, Sherry, even though he's not playing often on the, you know, the top line, he'll bump around quite a bit. He's still at least effective, you know, where he's got his plus minus low on a team that's been struggling defensively. So, man, it's about the best opportunity ABB could possibly have hoped for the beginning part of the season. And, you know, maybe he'll, you know, I say it every year, maybe he'll be trade bait coming up to the deadline here.
Well, he did get moved. He was with a couple of different teams and he never lasted long there either, with the Kraken, who you would think.
Two games.
He was in there long either. But great points about Sherry too there, Joe. I didn't realize they were tied in points either. And Sherry, I think, has gotten a lot of unnecessary. I was really high on Sherry early in the season. I thought he was going to have a great year. He hasn't had it when it comes to points anyway, that I think some people were expecting. But, you know, there's more to a game of hockey than just scoring goals and getting assists on the score sheet. And you know, listen, Sherry has not been the player that I think a lot of people we had hoped he was going to be, but you know, he's still a good, solid veteran player that can help out. And if his defensive game is, you know, decent, that's something the Lightning can definitely continue to use here moving forward on this hot streak. Specifically for the games, so we got this game against the Rangers on the 7th on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, which will be on TNT. But we got you covered here in case you don't have that game. I know it's hard to watch some of these games right here on RBR Lightning. And then on Thursday on that back-to-back at 8 p.m. Eastern, they'll be taking on the New York Islanders. And then on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern, they'll be taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets and then the two-day break, and they'll finish up against that road trip on Boston. But we'll have another episode out for you guys next week before that Boston Bruins game. So the Rangers game, obviously the big one on the schedule here, and then the back-to-back is always tough. Expect Andre Vasilevskiy to play against the New York Rangers, and then have I cannot believe I'm blanking on his name.
Right, Jonas now. Johansson.
Johansson, thank you. Well, you know, Johansson
Ben Bishop.
Once every month, so I forgot the poor guy's name. But Johansson in that game against the Islanders. Any other big things you're looking for this week in these games, guys, other than the New York game?
Stabilize and, you know, start getting into a rhythm. It's going to be tough because they're, you know, the Rangers are really good, but they have had their fair share of issues as well, with especially we're oddly enough, goaltending has been a little bit of a question mark for the Rangers. So hopefully get up to an early lead, you know, play tough, and then carry the momentum throughout the rest of the week.
Yeah, I always knew Embella Shesterkin was a fraud, and Vazzy's still the best goalie. I had to throw that jab in there, too. Oh, my God. How are you a goalie and you dive? That is just beyond me. You're where, okay, I won't get it.
You have
it.
A buddy that maybe you could ask about that.
at least he's a skater, man. At least he's not wearing 60 pounds of equipment.
Sorry, that was an inside thing that maybe we'll explain during the live on
I'm Wednesday. Sending him that clip of you, Joe. He's coming for a cross check to the teeth next game.
Sounds good.
I just want to mention quickly too, we've got the trade deadline next month, so still some time away before that rolls around, but there have been some rumblings rolling around with the Lightning. They've been connected to a couple, they've been connected to Pat Maroon, which I think is always really interesting that always pops up. But Jacob Chychrun, and then Matt, remind me who the guy
Sean Walker was the Sean name I've Walker. Heard had been linked to the Lightning. I can't remember who it was. This is, you know, going on a week ago now, and these are just rumblings, but
right. But
when there's scouts out and about,
interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, Walker's a name I've heard. You know, they're obviously keying in on, you know, right shot defenseman, or I think Chychrun is a left shot. I can't. Yeah, he's a left shot defenseman. But obviously defense is the area that they're going to be looking at. And both these players carry, you know, more than a league minimum salary, which is more than we can afford right now. We're still a little bit too early to be speculating on what moves they're going to be making and who might be leaving. But this, you know, if they do decide to make a, you know, a defensive trade, you'd have to assume it's going to be money in, money out kind of deal. Like, it might be a named roster player losing a spot. Again, it is still a bit too early to really judge anything, but that's kind of the way that it's starting to look. I've heard their names in way too many rumors to, you know, for them to not make a move, especially, you know, I hate to say it. These are the, you know, the years where everybody's starting to get a little bit older, starting to wind down. You got to go for it. You got to keep going for it. Who cares if we give up another draft class for a fourth line grinder? Please don't do that again. I love Janot, but don't do that again.
You don't have any draft picks to do it again. So,
yeah, I saw somebody was trading. I think it was a Winnipeg. They traded a 2027 pick or something. Teams are really just throwing. You know what? As I don't know, Joe or Jake, do you guys know, like, if you have a time frame, like, when you can start trading away picks? Like, I can't trade Montreal my 2040 first-round pick. Like, do I have access to that yet, or is this beyond our pay grade?
I thought it was four.
Oh, is it?
Four okay. years. But
it's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, I'll double-check it.
Matt, you're right. It is very early, obviously. Still, again, it's trade deadline is, I think,
March
next month. Yeah, March 28th, I think it is. So still got some time before that deadline happens. But the rumblings are interesting. And of course, it's trade season. We're starting to see where scouts are going out to, and the Lightning could potentially make a move there. We've talked about the defensive issues, although it has gotten a little bit better over the last week. So we'll have to wait and see if they potentially make a move there. But, Sean Walker or Jacob Chychrun, I would be over the moon for either of those guys. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I'm sure JBB can pull off some, you know, wizard magic like he always does. So I'd be, except for the trade on the draft picks, he doesn't have any left, but you know, that I digress.
It seems like, according to some of the stuff that I'm pulling up, that you can trade any pick. It's just a matter of whether or not a GM would ever really agree to something that's, you know, they're not going to be able to cash in on while they're potentially the GM.
Yeah.
Plus, it's also if it's going to get approved by the NHL too.
I got to pull a Matt a little bit here. I remember one year in an NHL video game, I did that. I went and traded for every first round pick I could possibly get. Just, you know, years and yeah, I would go. I was trading picks for years in advance to get up.
And they just simmed like 5 years, 6 years down the road, so you could utilize them.
Exactly. It was a lot of fun to do. But
I guess
hey,
you can't get fired as a GM in the game.
Right, exactly. You can turn that off. You can't get fired, and the NHL doesn't have to approve those trades.
Can I make a quick aside real quick, because we're on NHL, the video game? I just want to let you guys know. I wanted to talk about this earlier. It's really not a big point at all, but Nikita Kucherov is now a 96 overall in NHL 24. That is the highest any Tampa Bay Lightning player has ever been rated in any NHL game. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. Unfortunately, his tie was McKinnon. McDavid's a 97, so he's...
Marty was never that high?
Not a 96, no. For whatever reason, the NHL franchise is very, very conservative on giving players, you know, way too high of a rating. Pardon?
I like that they're conservative.
I do too. Like, you'll see in Madden, we're going way off here. You see in Madden, a lot of players are 99 overall, whatever. And I think, you know, you can only put two, maybe three players at 99 overall, and none of them are active. It's Wayne, Mario, and Gordy. I don't know. I disagree with active players being a 99 overall, but I'd be fine with McDavid at 98 and, you know, Kucherov at, you know, 97 or something. I think 96 is very, you know, I thought it was just very cool that he's the highest rated player. That is.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't know that. And it is very interesting. I'll also say this too, since we're on it. One reason I love Jacob Chychrun so much is because I remember him from an NHL video game when he first put into the game, playing a GM mode. He eventually became a 99 overall, which is one of the reasons I'm like, oh, Jacob Chychrun. Yeah, I know that guy now. But of course, he's also a very good defender and player this season. So, but hey, a lot to look forward to in the next couple of weeks here, and we'll have you covered right here. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow us on social media so you don't miss out on those future episodes. And we'll see you guys on the 7th for the game against the New York Rangers. We'll talk to you then. Go Bolts.
See you Wednesday.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.